Welcome to the Hormones in Harmony podcast. I'm your host, Vivian Allred, former chronic illness sufferer turned trusted health practitioner. My passion is helping people to identify and address the root causes of their symptoms through my online business, Viva Natural Health. If you're struggling with confusing or stubborn symptoms that just won't go away despite your best efforts, then you're in the right place. If I can heal from a long list of symptoms and conditions, including cystic acne, hair loss, severe food reactions, and brain fog, then you can heal too. Stay tuned for weekly episodes that share expert guest interviews, Q&A, and solo episodes that are all intended to help you wherever you're at on your healing journey. The information shared on this podcast is intended for educational purposes only, and is not designed to replace the advice of your health practitioner. That said, let's get into today's episode. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast, or welcome if this is your first time listening. I think you have chosen a pretty good episode to start with, because today we're talking about how self-supplementation and trying to DIY your health could actually be making things worse, and you could actually end up in poor health as a result. And I know why people do it. I have done this myself for such a long time. I was being a control freak, something that I've had to work on over the years in many different areas of my life and my health. But there's a few reasons I find that people try to do this. Number one, you think that you have enough information. You feel like you know enough. You feel like you're pretty knowledgeable, whether you have a qualification or not. There's so much information, so many resources at our fingertips these days that we can feel like we already know everything, and we have so much to already work on that we don't need to work with someone. We can just create a little plan for ourselves. That can be the first thing. Second one is that we don't want to ask for help. And this can be due to a number of different reasons. You don't have enough self-worth. You don't feel like you have this respect for yourself. You feel like you don't want to off-put onto other people. You have this pride and ego where you feel like you can handle it. You don't want to be a burden. Number three is that you might have been, quote, burned by other practitioners. You're scared to trust someone again. So you're like, I will just figure it out on my own, because the only person that I can trust is myself, and I don't want to invest in all of this money for me to just feel terrible again. That's number three. And number four is that you think that you're saving money. That usually is not the case, because often investing in a program or a practitioner, a service, might be more money up front, but the results that you're going to get and the guidance and support and personalization is actually going to save you money in the long run, because you're not just throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks. If you're trying different things every month and you don't have a clear plan, you don't have clear guidance, then it's probably not going to be effective, and you might not have a bad reaction to the supplements, but it's actually not going to move the needle. It's not going to give you any results, really. I've had people come into me and they're taking 10 to 15 different supplements a day, and I can see where they've chosen them from. Like, they're taking beef liver, they're taking magnesium, they're taking adrenal stress support, they're taking something for their sleep. And often they're pretty good products, and they're spending a lot of money because they know that quality is important, and not buying cheap stuff from Holland & Barrett or Amazon is good. So they're paying for these good quality brands, but the actual products and nutrients that they're using isn't specific enough to them. They're taking these general things, which if you are in pretty good health, that could be good to maintain you. But when you're in the depths of chronic illness and you have many imbalances that need to be worked on, that sort of stuff isn't going to address things. If you have a severe B vitamin deficiency, just taking some beef liver capsules every week isn't going to be enough. Yes, they have B vitamins in there, but they're not at the therapeutic doses that you need to improve your levels. Or if you have rock bottom electrolyte levels, but you think just salting your food every day and drinking a bit of coconut water is enough, you're on the right track. Those foods are high in electrolytes, but you will very likely need an electrolyte supplement to bump up your levels at least for a few months. And then you can, by all means, maintain and continue with those healthy food and dietary changes, but that's not going to be enough to move the needle. So just to recap, these are the exact same reasons that I self-supplemented and tried to DIY my health, is that I thought I knew enough on my own. And I was a practitioner, both as a student. I didn't want to work with anyone for a long time because I thought I was learning enough and I thought I could just implement that generic information. But then even when I became a practitioner, I was like, I should know what I'm doing and I know my body better than anyone, which is true. But sometimes having someone with an outside perspective look in, they can see things that you're missing. They can see your shadows. They can see the things that you've overlooked. They can help to create a plan for you, which when it comes to your own health, it can just become so overwhelming. If you're also trying to work full time and you've got a family and you're trying to be your own doctor and practitioner, then you're asking for stress. You don't want to ask for help. You've been burned by other practitioners, scared to trust someone again, and you're trying to save money. But let me tell you from my personal experience and my client's experience, that usually doesn't work out. As I said, it can cause more stress, it can waste more money, and it can waste a lot of time. And what we're going to be covering today is how you can actually worsen certain problems by self-supplementing. Ideally, everyone would have specific testing to see exactly what their body needs, the specific deficiencies, the specific toxicities or imbalances that they have, and exactly what they needed. But I know that that isn't available to everyone. We can't test every single nutrient because some things are better tested through blood, some things are better tested through hair, some things are better tested in other ways. So I know that that's not realistic, but there are ways to get access to at least a few tests to see what your body needs instead of just guessing. The HTMA, the hair tissue mineral analysis, is my favorite functional lab test. And you might have heard that I'm re-releasing my mineral balancing course, I'm Balanced, in just a few weeks' time, the 11th of March. It's coming very, very soon. And I'll tell you a little bit more about this towards the end of the episode, but it includes a hair mineral test. So if you're hearing what I'm saying and you want to learn from my mistakes, the ideal situation is that you would test at least for your minerals, and this looks at heavy metals too, to see, do you actually need that zinc supplement? Do you need magnesium, or is it actually something else that's causing your fatigue and period problems? If you have already recently done a HTMA, you actually get 6 months from the time of purchase to use this test. It comes with a complementary mineral test. Or if you want to wait and use it as a retest after you've done a bit more work, that's absolutely fine. Or if you've never done one before, this is your chance, the perfect opportunity, without having to work with a practitioner. Or maybe you want to do this alongside working with a practitioner. Maybe they don't offer mineral testing, so I know it's not massively popular at the moment. And once you've listened to what I've got to say on this episode, you will understand the importance of testing even more before you supplement. I could have two people with period problems and fatigue, just two symptoms like that, and they're going to have completely different results and therefore need different treatments and different protocols. This episode is going to be specifically focused on the supplements that can throw mineral levels out of whack, because that's what I'm going to be doing to promote and prepare for the course release. And there are so many other examples of how supplementing with other things can make imbalances worse. Like, take cortisol, for example. So many people are dealing with adrenal / cortisol stress issues these days, but they're just taking products based on their symptoms. A symptom like fatigue, though, could be due to both high or low cortisol levels. So if you just assume you have low cortisol because you're tired, and you start taking all of these things to boost your cortisol levels, you could actually be pushing that higher and making it worse. Or there's examples of people testing salivary cortisol levels. That used to be the way that people did it, is through a saliva test, and we see the free cortisol throughout the day. Now it's much more effective to test via urine, something like a Dutch adrenal test or a Dutch complete test. That is looking at the total production and the free production. I don't want to get too much into the nitty-gritty of it, but Basically, the saliva test is just looking at the free hormone, which only represents between 1% and 3% of total production. So for a long time, that was the popular test. And a lot of people would show excessively high cortisol on that or excessively low cortisol. And they start taking things to push cortisol higher, like licorice or adrenal glandulars, or they believe that they have high cortisol and start to try and lower it through phosphatidylserine and different things like that. But when they actually do a more advanced test for their cortisol and adrenals, like the urine sample, they see that they actually had the opposite problem. So the free cortisol showed low, the free test showed low cortisol, but the urine test showed high cortisol, and they've been just making it worse by adding all of these stimulating things in. So that is one example. Another example is if you've got bacterial overgrowth, small intestine bacterial overgrowth, SIBO, if you're adding in tons of fiber because maybe you're constipated and you read online that fiber is important, that's just a standard recommendation that we're given. I feel like everyone knows that, but it can go either way with constipation. More fiber can actually make it worse, or it can relieve symptoms in some people. But if you start adding in tons of extra fiber, psyllium husk, you start taking prebiotic supplements, chicory roots, and all of these things, just because you feel like that's going to help your constipation, you could actually be making SIBO and bacterial overgrowth worse. It's not exactly the same with probiotics, especially the ones that I use, these spore-based probiotics. They can actually have regulating effects. So even someone with SIBO and overgrowth of bacteria, they can still take probiotics in some cases. They're not definitely not tolerated by everyone, but that can lower and just bring the gut back into a healthy ecosystem. Another example is if you're trying to detox mold and metals, but you're taking all of these strong liver detox herbs without preparing for that. So you have to do a bit of prep work first. You have to make sure your detox and drainage pathways are open. You have to make sure that the body is somewhat stable and regulated and not majorly stressed and inflamed. Because if not, you will end up with severe detox reactions. And maybe you really do need that liver detox, but that's going to backfire and it's going to make you feel even worse doing that. So you're on the right track, but you've missed a huge foundational step. And this is why just reading online and try to implement that information yourself can be pretty dangerous. And I've seen some people really make things worse for themselves and set off all of these like autoimmune reactions from doing just that. And the final example that I'll give before we get onto the mineral specific problems is a common one that I see is supplementing with single B vitamins for a long period of time. Like someone who's maybe trying for a baby, they're just taking mega doses of folate. Like they're taking a prenatal with folate in, they're taking a separate folate supplement because they've read about the importance. Or maybe it's folic acid that they're taking, the synthetic poor quality form that's standard. And when we take these single B vitamins, because the B vitamins are like a family and a complex, they should all work together. So it throws the whole ratios out of whack. And just one connection is that B12 and folate and B6 all work together in a methylation cycle. So if you're just high dosing in one, it can actually block. If you're high dosing in zinc or folate, it can actually block the other ones from being absorbed properly. They need to work in synergy. And this is the overall summary of this episode, is that nutrients work in synergy. So we can isolate single supplement and isolate certain products when needed, but we need to see that that's absolutely the case and that's necessary before doing so, especially if we're getting to these high doses or long periods of time of supplementing. That's where we can run into issues. So now I'm going to share the common nutrients that can cause mineral imbalances. So when I get these reports coming back from my clients, I'm often working with pretty healthy people who are already supplementing, have already worked with different practitioners. And even if they've been on their health journey for 5-10 years, I still see major mineral imbalances, which aren't just going to be caused by supplements, but they can definitely be part of the puzzle when I question a little bit more. I'm like, have you ever taken iron, or did you ever take high doses of zinc? And they're like, yeah, how did you know? And it's because the minerals are showing an imbalance that's commonly caused by those things. And I will say, as we go through, this isn't going to be the same when these nutrients come from nature, natural forms like vitamin D from the sun or calcium from food. So that's just a general recommendation for each of these things. It doesn't mean that you have to avoid the food, and the food doesn't cause the problem, because that's how nature intended it to be. That's where we should be getting our supplements from, Mother Earth. But because of so many pesticides and toxins and stressors and farming methods these days, we can often run into deficiencies. So I just wanted to put that disclaimer before we get into it. So the first one is iron. People supplement with iron for a million and one reasons, but a huge one is fatigue. Even my parents, for some reason, every time they're tired, their brain automatically just goes to iron deficiency. Even though my mum is postmenopausal and is no longer having bleeds, that really reduces her risk of anemia because she's not actually getting rid of any blood at all. And then my dad, like, it's very uncommon for men to have an iron deficiency if they're eating red meat and unless they have some sort of internal bleeding. But they automatically, I think it's just maybe a generational thing, they just think fatigue equals I need more iron, which it could absolutely be. And I would always start with increasing your iron-rich foods, red meats, liver, offal, to see if that makes a difference, and testing your iron to make sure that that is in a healthy range. I will say, out of all of these minerals that I'm going to mention today, the majority of them are best tested through HER, the HCMA. The only exception to that is iron, which is better tested through a blood panel, looking at things like hemoglobin and ferritin too, not just serum iron. So a lot of the time, iron comes back normal on a HCMA, but someone has actual high levels or low levels. So that's another disclaimer. But when it comes to magnesium and calcium and zinc, they are all better tested through HER as opposed to blood, because HER is a cellular test. Think of what HER is. That used to be inside of your body. That is part of your cells. It's dead cells. So that sample that you take, which is a sample close to the scalp, that was in your body a few months ago. So that's why we're testing that. Whereas blood, minerals aren't just found floating around in the blood, unless you're testing things like red blood cell magnesium, which is less common. If you're trying to test serum your calcium levels, you're not going to find accurate results, because calcium is main should be mainly found in the bones and the teeth. So with iron, taking iron when we don't need it or for excessive amount of time or in high doses can actually contribute to more inflammation in this process called oxidative stress, which is kind of the same thing, cellular damage. It can also feed infections, parasites, and bacteria. So that's my problem with it, is that it can just cause too many issues. And a lot of people jump straight to an iron deficiency when our body works in synergy, so it should work in a balance. And we actually need important nutrients for iron recycling. So someone might actually have a low level of iron that's contributing fatigue. I do see that commonly. But if they have a vitamin A or retinol deficiency, if they're deficient in copper or vitamin C, they can't use that iron well. So instead of just supplementing with iron, why not support these other nutrients first, and that allows your body to recycle the iron to begin. We do want to make sure that the person isn't eating a plant-based or vegetarian diet if this is the case, because we want to ideally get it from food, how the body expects it. And just supplementing, like with all of these, potentially isn't addressing the underlying root cause. And symptoms of high and low iron can look similar. Like I said, with fatigue, fatigue could be due to high or low cortisol, whereas symptoms like joint pain, fatigue, hair loss, period problems can be due to actual low levels, but also high levels of iron. That's why people can keep taking it forever, because they resonate when they read a list of iron deficiency symptoms. They're like, oh yeah, I must still need more because I'm still dealing with heavy periods and fatigue, but they're probably getting to the point of too high iron. But that's giving the same symptoms, and that's making them think that they need to continue. It can be a vicious cycle. These days, there's so many foods and products fortified with iron, things like protein powders and grains, sports drinks, multivitamins. So it's actually less common than you think that someone has a true iron deficiency. Or if they do, the potential underlying causes of that can be internal bleeding. So you can see how dangerous that could be if you are just keep taking iron and it's improving your levels, but you're not fixing the underlying cause. That's a problem. It can be due to excessive blood loss through your periods. So heaviness of periods, that also becomes a vicious cycle because when you bleed too much, you're going to lose blood and iron. But then when you're low in iron, you're going to have heavier periods. So sometimes supplementing with iron is necessary, but I'd want to make sure that someone's diet is on point, that we're addressing the underlying root cause. With heavy periods, that example, that could be due to estrogen dominance or thyroid issues or fibroids as some examples.
Did you know that indoor air is typically more polluted and harmful than outdoor air? I wasn't really aware of the harmful effects of poor air quality until I found out that I was unknowingly being exposed to toxic mold that was making me really sick. Now I really prioritize what I think are the foundations to health: clean food, clean water, and clean air. It's not just mold that we need to be mindful of in our homes, it's the flame retardants and VOCs off-gassing from furniture, airborne parasites, pollen, dust mites, and bacteria. One of the best investments that you can make with your health is getting a high quality air filter that is strong enough to filter these things out and clean the air properly. Otherwise, it's going to be our lungs filtering that stuff. Not all air filters are created equal though. So I wanted to share with you my favorite brand, the Air Doctor, or if you're in the UK, the Amazing Air. I keep this powerful filter running 24/7 to give me peace of mind that the air that I'm breathing is safe and supportive to my health. Check the show notes for links to save £200 on the Amazing Air 3000 and up to $300 off the different Air Doctor models. I just know that you're going to love it as much as I do. Okay, let's get back into the show.
And another thing is with all of these minerals, there's something called the core four or the macro minerals. These are calcium, magnesium, sodium, and potassium. I talk more about this in the course, but basically, these are the big minerals. So like we have our macronutrients, protein, carbs, and fats, then we have our micronutrients, which are vitamins and minerals. It's the same with minerals. We have these big ones that we need lots and lots of every day, and then we have micro minerals that we still need all of them, but just in less amounts. Iron is, it's either a second or third level mineral, so it's definitely not one of the core four. So until they're balanced, until the first four are in pretty good range, the rest of the minerals are always going to look a little bit out of whack. Examples of second and third level minerals are the zinc and selenium, just all of the other minerals, other than calcium, magnesium, sodium, potassium, those key electrolytes. So always focus on the core four, and the mineral test is going to help you to do that. And then after those are looking a little bit better, usually the iron falls into place. So with iron, it could be that you have an underlying magnesium deficiency. And that is holding you back from your iron being in check, or your sodium, or your potassium. So you need to work on that first. And then either the iron just falls into place and starts to be absorbed better on its own, or it's then that you maybe do need to supplement, but it's not going to cause as many issues and you don't need to take it for as long because you fixed the underlying terrain. Next on the list is magnesium. This is one that can actually cause more imbalances if you're not careful. And I used to think as a practitioner that this was the one of the only general supplements that I could recommend to everyone without being cautious. Like I can't recommend to everyone a zinc supplement or digestive enzymes or vitamin C necessarily, but I could recommend magnesium because it is true that most of the population is deficient. However, after learning more about HTMA and minerals, I know that they work in synergy, and just supplementing with one thing could lead to further imbalances in others. The problem with magnesium specifically is that when you're taking this, if you already have low electrolytes, or if you're not also supporting your electrolyte levels, which the top ones are sodium and potassium, then it could actually deplete them further, leading to even more fatigue. That's the ironic thing. You might actually need magnesium. You could have low magnesium, low sodium, and low potassium. But usually, I spend a good few months working on the sodium and potassium first to get that into a higher range and then add the magnesium in when they've got a bit more of that backup support. Because if you just start with magnesium, especially in these high doses, then that could deplete the sodium and potassium further and make your energy even lower. So you're kind of helping one thing, but not really, because again, this synergistic connection, but you're making another problem even worse. I don't think topicals are as problematic. So if you're doing creams and sprays and magnesium sulfate baths, which are also called Epsom salts, but too many people are just pounding the magnesium supplements these days in mega high doses, and you need to check your electrolytes first. Or another thing is that they could be B6 deficient. You actually need vitamin B6 to hold on to magnesium. This is often missed, and we can see it as what's called a loss pattern on the HTMA. So if you do a HTMA and your magnesium looks really high, that doesn't mean that you've got really good magnesium levels. This is another thing that I educate on in the course. It's not a report that you can just look at and figure out without knowing what you're doing, because you could just end up making things worse. It really is an art and a skill to do this. But if you see a high level on there above like an 8, it could be due to a B6 deficiency. It could be due to this underlying stress that is causing you to burn through magnesium too quickly. It's called a loss pattern, so it's technically still a deficiency, but if the cause of magnesium deficiency, the top one being chronic stress, isn't addressed, it's pretty pointless for you to just keep supplementing if you're not going to fix the underlying pattern. I understand when there's some things that you just can't get out of or get rid of straight away. If you're trying to change your job or something's going on in your life or with your work and you can't just get rid of that stress immediately, supplementing with certain nutrients can be helpful to help your body through that stress. But the problem that I see is that people are just thinking that the supplements are going to kind of outweigh the stress and it's going to negate all of the negative health effects, which is not true. So we always want to make sure that we're looking deeper and asking our body why, or asking ourselves, why do we have this problem in the first place? And I give some of the potential root causes and underlying factors within I'm Balanced, the mineral course, but a big one is stress. So if you're not fixing the lifestyle or the mindset or the trauma that's behind that, then you're really missing a huge factor. Next is zinc. Zinc can, when taken in high doses or for too long, or if you don't need it, it can either deplete or start to detox copper. They work in like a yin and yang, like progesterone and estrogen. Zinc and copper have their own little relationship. So with copper, this is a very, all of them are, but this is a very Goldilocks mineral. We don't want it too high and we don't want it too low. We want it just right. We need copper for our immune system to function. We also need it for hair color. Hello, premature graying. If that's you, this could be due to a copper deficiency. And it's important for histamine regulation. So you could start taking zinc for immune support, say, but end up with more allergic type histamine symptoms as a result. Also, if you have an unknown copper problem, which is quite prevalent these days, I don't like the term copper toxicity. I sometimes say that just because it's understandable and people have heard that before. The term that I prefer is copper dysregulation, because copper's not a bad thing. It's when it's out of whack and it's when it's unregulated that it can become a problem and have heavy metal-like effects. So if you don't know, and most people don't know that they have a copper problem until they test and see, if you start taking zinc, it can actually cause your body to detox and dump this copper too quickly, which can lead to some pretty crazy symptoms, a lot of mental health issues, a lot of menstrual cycle issues. I do a lot of prep work with my clients to avoid this happening, like getting the CoA4 in check, making sure that the liver and the bowels are working well, making sure that their adrenals are functioning, because that's involved in copper regulation too, as is bile flow. But if you don't know what you're doing and you don't know that you've got copper toxicity from taking synthetic estrogen for a long time, having a history of vegan diets, having a history of a copper IUD, those are some of the risk factors, but it can also pass down maternally, then you might start feeling worse than ever taking zinc and have no idea why, or it might happen gradually. Zinc also needs magnesium and vitamin A, just some of the nutrients to actually be activated. So that's what I'm saying. If you're just taking zinc on its own, but not these cofactors that it's typically found with in nature, then you're missing a trick. You could also start to push out heavy metals with some of these minerals, which are also tested within the HTMA. So if you want to look at your potential toxic load, it's not a full gold standard test. There are other things that you could do further testing on through stool testing, but it can give you a pretty good idea as to whether you have major issues with heavy metals or not. I will say, though, side note, if it comes back clear or really low levels the first few times, if your minerals are really out of whack and your body is really depleted, it could just be that you're not detoxing them. So don't be discouraged. It happens all the time. If the first couple of times it doesn't look like you have a huge issue with heavy metals, but then you start feeling better, you test again, you do a retest, and you see that your heavy metals are now through the roof, that would actually be a good sign that you're healing and getting stronger. So don't freak out if you see that happening for yourself through the Iron Balance course. So when you start taking zinc, especially, there's a big connection to heavy metals like cadmium. So if you start taking zinc, you might start pushing out cadmium. And if you're not taking binders and doing liver and detox support and you're constipated, then you could actually feel worse from that. I've seen a lot of issues caused by zinc over the past few years, since COVID times, when zinc was one of the go-to immune support supplements, which is great. I love that. And I love that they were sharing some natural tools like vitamin D and zinc and melatonin. But if that person already had normal zinc levels or didn't need the mega high doses long-term, then that could just lead to further problems. And so many people just stay on the supplements that previous practitioners have recommended. They are like, oh, I worked with so-and-so 5 years ago, and then I've still been taking this. And then last year I worked with this person, so I've just been still taking a few of those supplements. And they can sometimes forget why they're on them. Or maybe something has worked for you before. Maybe last time you took zinc, your skin cleared up. So next time your skin breaks out, you just start taking zinc again. But that the acne this time, the breakouts this time, might not even be due to zinc. It could be due to a completely different reason. Maybe your liver needs more support. Maybe it's maybe it's constipation or gut health that's driving it. Maybe it's stress. So we can't just continue things indefinitely. Supplements are there to do their job, and then you should be able to discontinue. There might be the odd thing that we turn to every now and again, like every few months you might want to take some probiotics or some cod liver oil or some beef liver. These are more just general long-term supplements, but with these specific things, just continuing them long-term can just lead to more problems, especially if you don't need that supplement. It works the other way too. So we've just mentioned copper and how it can deplete zinc. If we're taking zinc and how it can deplete copper, it works the other way around, how copper can deplete zinc. Or you could have that common problem before I mentioned of copper dysregulation or copper toxicity, and you're just taking copper unknowingly in multivitamins. It's found in there quite a lot, or it's in these fortified foods and products and powders. And then the signs of zinc deficiency can also be affecting your immune system, your stomach acid, your hormones, your liver, so many things. Zinc is involved in hundreds of different reactions. It's similar to magnesium. There's probably nothing that you could name that zinc isn't involved in. Another supplement that I see causing issues is vitamin D. So not a mineral directly, but it is one vitamin that can cause mineral problems. The main issue being that it can increase calcium levels. This is one of vitamin D's main roles. It's important for immune balance. It's important for brain function, but it helps to increase calcium levels, which again, from food, sunlight, can be really helpful. But when we take synthetic vitamin D in these high doses, especially when it's not combined with other key nutrients like vitamin K, which helps to transport it to the right places, then we can develop something called a calcium shell, which is one of the most common imbalances that I see in my practice and with these mineral results. and it can mimic a lot of thyroid issues. So think slow metabolism, brain fog, fatigue, chronic pain, weight gain. As a reminder, it's not the same as getting vitamin D from the sun. That is just going to support your health, obviously, with safe sun exposure. But it's these synthetic vitamin Ds, which was another one that we were told to take high doses of during COVID. And just living in certain places like the UK, we're told, and just these stupid general GP recommendations, like everyone should take high dose vitamin D throughout the winter because everyone is deficient. How do they know that? They're not even testing the vitamin D. And it's just a blanket statement that they're trying to, it's good that they're trying to give us some natural things, natural advice, but it's just contributing to more problems. Definitely the quality that they use as well. It's either not combined with K2, not in a good form anyway, it's in tablet form, and it's just poor quality, and it's just not getting absorbed well. So the sun is the best way to get vitamin D for everyone. The goal should be to build up your levels during summer and then store it in the body to make it through winter if you live in a country like England or certain parts of the US that we don't produce vitamin D all year long in the Northern Hemisphere. It is normal for your levels to get lower during the winter. It shouldn't be rock bottom. If it is rock bottom, it could be that you didn't get enough sun exposure, but it could also be caused by other problems like a magnesium deficiency, chronic infections, issues with your liver, gallbladder, bile flow, because at the end of the day, it is a fat-soluble vitamin. So any issues with low cholesterol or fat absorption, anything like that, can indirectly affect vitamin D. So with fat-soluble vitamins, they store in the body. That's why we shouldn't just take vitamin A or vitamin D long-term. It can be toxic in high amounts for a long time. But with things like B vitamins, they're water-soluble. So that's the reason like we should be getting them every single day. Vitamin D supplements can be helpful if you have low calcium levels. So we're now going on to calcium. I am typically prone to lower calcium levels. It can go either way with my clients. Like 50% of the time it's high, 50% of the time it's really low. And with low calcium levels, taking a vitamin D supplement can be really helpful. Like I personally do pretty well on them because I have vitamin D receptor genes as well, which just means that my body doesn't absorb it as well as it could do. And I'm just prone to lower calcium levels in general. So yeah, supplements can be really good. And I do see calcium deficiency become more prevalent these days because of people cutting out key foods like dairy products, like I did for 10 years. And I do think there's going to be more issues with bone health over the next few decades as a result of this. So just word of warning, unless you have a dairy allergy, your sensitivities and lactose intolerance can often be improved when you work on the gut health and your immune system. But bone health is at risk when we cut out like important key foods like that. But it is affected by other things too, like your vitamin D levels, estrogen, exercise and weight-bearing exercise, boron, manganese, other minerals. So don't be freaked out if you have to be dairy-free for a period of time. It's not going to completely ruin your bones, but just test your minerals, make sure, see what's going on, and work on the underlying causes that can allow you to add dairy back in, because it is such a nourishing food if it's tolerated. If you have high calcium, this can be as a result of supplementing, but usually there's this genetic predisposition present, which we can't get rid of, but we can influence. It's also common with those who have thyroid issues, which can be a two-way street, because when you have a calcium shell, it's going to slow down your thyroid. When you have a thyroid issue, you're not processing calcium properly. So this high level of calcium, which is what you'd see on your report, it's called a calcium shell, but it doesn't mean that you've got too much calcium. It means that you're not processing calcium, and it's starting to build up in the wrong places. It's building up in the soft tissue instead of the bones, teeth, and skeletal system, where 99.9% of it should be. So that's the problem. It slows down the body. It affects your kind of the electricity of the body, the communication between cells, and it just slows down everything. And your metabolism is everything. It determines how you convert food into energy, how your body heals, how you ovulate, so many different things. and people are getting a lot of calcium if they are eating dairy, or they're also taking multivitamins, a lot of them, and prenatals have calcium in hair, skin and nail formulas, even fortified foods. So even if you're dairy free, you could still have a calcium shell because it's found in almond milk, cereals, and maybe you have a thyroid issue too. So that's just a recipe for calcium shell, really. So just to recap, the common supplements that can cause issues with mineral imbalances and therefore worse energy, more chronic pain, more hormone imbalances, if you're not careful, are iron, magnesium, zinc, copper, vitamin D, and calcium. They're the top ones I see. And there are some other factors too with supplements. It could be that you're getting poor quality products. There's so many issues online, and it's such an unregulated industry, especially in countries like the US, with counterfeit products on Amazon. I've heard recently from a colleague about some of the Megaspore products, or the Mega IgG product that's for immune system. Someone bought it on Amazon because it was out of stock from the main website, and I think the seal was damaged from Amazon, and they looked in it and the capsules were all different. Like, there was two different types of capsules in there. And she contacted Microbiome Labs, who is the creator, and they said they do not stock on Amazon. So who knows what she was getting. That can be the case with anything. It's best to buy directly from the manufacturer or from practitioner dispensaries. I know that sometimes it can be a little bit cheaper, but you really get what you're paying for. And if you're still buying your supplements from Holland & Barrett's or these cheap websites, or your grocery store, or God forbid, Costco, then you are really just throwing your money down the drain and could actually be making your health worse as a result. Then the cheaper ones tend to have more fillers and bulking agents in there, which can be a problem if you have gut issues, autoimmunity, histamine / sensitivities, and there's a known issue with certain herbs and products being contaminated with heavy metals, depending on where it's grown or what it's been exposed to in the manufacturing process. So that's going to be increasing your toxic load too. So paying for quality is super important, as it is with anything. Like, you can pay cheap, or you end up paying twice for a lot of things, because if you're buying a shirt and you bought the cheapest one out there, it might break, and then you'll still have to buy the more expensive one anyway. And at the end of the day, it's your health. So we want to invest in the quality products when we can. And just know that, I always tell my clients this, if they're on a tight budget, I totally respect that. We do as much as we can through food and lifestyle and mindset. But supplements can be an amazing tool. But they are just that. They're the cherry on top of the cake. And they can make a huge difference, especially if we're trying to clear infections from the body in a natural way, or really restore a severely deficient nutrient. They're amazing. And they can help to heal, and I credit a lot of my healing to these practitioner-grade supplements. But I always tell my clients, if they are in a budget, then you're not going to be on all of these things forever. Well, they might be on like 5 to 8 different products, and they all have a specific purpose. So I say, if you can invest in the ones that I'm recommending, because I know that they work, they have a track record, I've used them before successfully, and these are the best quality. So you're not also getting all of these risks of contamination or counterfeit products from different websites, and you're going to get the results faster, and you're probably not going to have to take it for as long, because it's at the high dose, your body's going to absorb it better, as opposed to you buying one that's half the price from your local health food shop, but it's not actually doing anything, and you're still just going to have to be on it for long term because you still feel the same. So that's my little rant over about supplements. I love them, but we need to know what we're doing. Otherwise, you're going to end up in a worse position a lot of the time. Not to scare you, but that's why I created I'm Balanced, my do-it-yourself mineral balancing course, which again is going to be released on the 11th of March. I think this is the third or fourth round that I've done. And you're going to get the biggest savings the first week. So it's going to be one payment of £347, which is an absolute steal if you ask me, because within that you're getting a HTMA test to use within 6 months. So mark your calendars now if you're interested. And you want to get your hands on the HTMA to see what's actually happening in your body, and maybe listen back to this episode when you get your test results, because then you can see maybe what's happening, and this will be in depth in the course as well. I talk about this a lot more. And finally, get some answers, stop guessing, so you can finally start to see some improvements. This is only going to speed up your healing process, and it's going to be your lifelong resource now to understand mineral balancing for yourself and do additional tests in the future. It is a good test to do once or twice a year to see exactly what your body needs and to monitor how things are going. I'm going to do a more in-depth episode on the HTMA probably next week, so stay tuned for that one, to tell you even more why I love this test and what exactly it's looking at. So subscribe if you haven't already, so you don't miss that. And if you want to test your loved ones as well, you would just order additional tests, which at the moment are just £99. So you could pay for the course, get your own mineral test, and then get your husband one, your sister, your children, because it is a test that pretty much anyone could do as long as they've got her. If you can't use head hair, if you're with a partner who's bald, like I am, then they can use pubic hair, but some of the results might look a little bit different, but I mentioned that in the program. Otherwise, if you want something a little bit deeper and you want me to interpret the test for you, you don't really want to have to like learn anything new, because maybe you're feeling terrible and brain fogged and you just want to hand things over to a practitioner to tell you exactly what's going on, then my one-to-one work is right for you. So this is the 6-month root cause relief package. You do get a mineral test included in that, and I will interpret and create the plan for you. So it's just going to, again, speed up the process. So this is root cause relief. And I mentioned this on social media and to some of my clients already, but there is going to be a big upgrade coming around May time. That's my goal. I will try and stick to that as best as possible. You're going to get automatic access for no additional cost to this amazing library of healing resources through a app called Kajabi. So I'm going to host everything in there, so many more healing videos on nutrition and mindset work. There's going to be access to hypnosis tracks and EFT tapping sessions. There's going to be more information on sleep, just away from the coaching calls, just give you so many more tools and support on your healing journey. So if you sign up before I officially launch that in May, you can pay the current price, and then when it's ready, you just get automatic access. How good is that? I would absolutely love that. You get lifetime access to it, just a healing tool that I will continue to upgrade into the future. So if this sparks your interest, you want to learn more, I will put the link to both the course or the one-to-one in the show notes. Let me know if you have any questions. You can send me a DM on Instagram, I'm at Viva Natural Health, or an email, inquiries with an E, at vivanaturalhealth.co.uk. I would love to answer any questions that you have if you're not sure which is going to be best. I do have an enrollment call if you want to chat a little bit more about the one-to-one, because I understand that's a higher investment. So if you have any questions, otherwise you can apply using the form on my website. So I will leave you there. Again, next episode is going to be more on the mineral test. So if you want to learn why I love it so much, why it's my favorite functional lab, then definitely tune into that. And I will see you back here next week. Have a great day.
I really hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, I would love for you to leave me a rating and review on your podcast app, as this helps to support the show and it allows it to reach more people with this valuable information. Come and say hi over on Instagram. I'm at Viva Natural Health. And if you haven't already, check out my website, vivanaturalhealth.co.uk, for tons more free resources and to discover how I could support you further. I currently offer one-on-one consultation packages if you want my top level support, then more affordable group programs and self-paced online courses. So there really is something for everyone. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I'll see you back here next week for another episode.